You are listening to the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
You are listening to and watching the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. This is something totally new. Lights, camera,
action.
Oh my goodness. my dad always told me I had a face for radio, so this is going to be interesting. Now you have to actually look at us, but thanks for tuning in. We are trying something different. We are still doing the audio, obviously, and it's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that kind of jazz, but we thought, hey, let's video in case people want to see what we actually look like, which, let's be honest, no one cares what we look like.
Except for our wives.
Except for our wives. And even then, it's kind of like, eh. But yeah, so this podcast now will be every week on YouTube as well and on the church website if you actually want to watch our interaction. So my name's Andrew. With me, as always, is Corland.
Hello, hello.
And Cameron.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening or watching.
Now you can see the cheesy person.
That's right, absolutely. I hope that the cheesy and the sarcastic is works as well in video as it does on on the radio. But you know, I thought we won't be able to back away from the mic and make each other laugh anymore. It'll just be too awkward. So
that's true. Because we'll be like, oh yeah, right. You can see me.
That's right.
The first thing we need to repent of is this is called the North Peace Round Table. And we feel like we've been living a lie for all those, I was going to say years, but no, those episodes.
All those weeks.
Did you and Don have a round table?
No comment. We have, yes, we have a round table back here, so we're not total liars. But, you know, the North Peace Rectangle Podcast.
That's right.
Didn't quite sound. So anyways, forgive us for lying. Today, we want to talk about creation, and specifically, you know, because that could be a huge topic, but I guess we have a few questions that we wanted to ask and answer. So why did God create the universe? And I guess how as well, because I think there is some confusion about how, you know, and then is the earth young or old? Can you be a Christian and actually believe in evolution? Podcast over. But questions like that, I guess, relating to creation. So I don't know where we want to begin, maybe with that first question. You know, why / how did God create the universe? And then we'll get into like age of the earth and all that kind of stuff. So
because he could.
So it was like a dare.
No,
I
not
bet
quite.
You can't.
Not quite. But I think that he probably did create the universe because he could, but also to display his glory and infinite power, and to be glorified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it feeds back into what we were talking about. I just marathoned the podcast, so I don't remember which one was which. But we talked about, it may have actually just been last week where, you know, why did God create angels? You know, so narcissistic, or his ego needed that. But then you think of like creation. So he created, and then everything just begins worshiping as a natural response to creating because of his glory. So it's like it exists and then it glorifies him because of who he is. And, you know, he created for relationship with the earth and with us, and so yeah, just to display his glory, really, to create something out of nothing. And I think that's what you were alluding to.
Yeah I think there could be, you know, sub reasons, right? But I think the big reason, and you guys both touched on it, is that he created everything to display his own glory. A few passages that, you know, talk about that, about God doing God, not just creation, but God doing everything for his own glory. And you're right. Yeah, I would encourage you to listen to last week's, because that came up, right? About, doesn't that make God like kind of egotistical? And so like Isaiah 48:11, this is not specifically about creation, but God says, for my own sake, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Isaiah 43:7, God says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And then even in the New Testament, Jesus talks about letting our light shine before others so that they see our good works. And then it's like, you know, give glory to God in heaven. And then 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. So I think, you know, it's not a cop-out answer, but really the easiest answer is, you know, God created everything for his own glory, to display his glory in the universe, I guess. And then all those answers are true too, right? He created us for relationship with him. Mm-hmm. He created human beings for relationship with one another. So all of those answers are right as well.
I had someone ask me though, like, why then, and if we believe in a young earth, which we'll get into, like, you know, why did God, having always existed, wait so long to begin creation, and what was before that? That was an interesting comment when I just shared with someone what we'd be talking about this week. And I didn't really know how to respond, just because all of these things are true, that, but then why isn't it an old universe that no one can even begin to look at? How, you know, time, for example, what would you think or say about that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's interesting, because with questions like that, my initial reaction is that of which my grandpa gave me to a different question that I asked, and he was like, it doesn't matter. and so my initial reaction can be that, but yeah. Then when you think about it, like, I mean, if that's a question that someone has, it is a good question.
Because the answer would work for this, what we're talking about right now. Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a lot of stuff, we could say that. And I think maybe you're like, right, in a sense. But I think sometimes people, and they sometimes accuse Christians of just like being lazy.
Yeah.
Like, give us an actual answer. And you're like, well, God's a mystery or whatever. And, right? And there is an element where, are we ever going to fully understand everything about? No, because then we would be God if we knew everything.
Yeah, it's not for us to know.
Yeah, so there is that balance where you get to a point where you do kind of go, well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, why would God, who's existed for all eternity, why did he wait till whatever, 8,000 years or 10, whatever, right? Why not 8 billion years?
Right.
And I think, what do you think, Cam? You're the one who asked the question. Again, God is perfect in all of his ways. Everything he does, there's a reason behind it. And maybe we'll never know why. Yeah. Someone even asked me once, you know, why did Jesus come when he did? Why in that specific time period? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, well, there's some reasons maybe, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like,
that might almost be easier to unpack just with what was happening in the culture,
sure,
like the demise of the nation. But when I thought about that question, I just kind of, yeah, I hover on that. But I'm also careful because I have people in my network who are by far not Christians, and I don't want to give them ever just this cheesy response. And so it's a good I don't know. But, you know, when you talk, I just talked about, like, well, this is what we believe. This is all we have. All the information that's available to us. So this is what we unpack. And they said, is it possible that there were other universes before this one was recorded? Really interesting questions. Hmm. And again, that's kind of the I don't know, because we're not given that. But it's kind of neat because it caused a little bit of mystery, but kind of an interested mystery, and not like a, well, that sounds crazy, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we shouldn't try to fill with answers where we don't have answers, because that could actually create that idea of like, okay, you guys are just making up your own rules as you go along. But to actually sit and like, I'm not sure, it's kind of cool to think about. No, it doesn't really matter, but it's fun to kind of think about. And it was a neat conversation, and I really appreciated it. And they left kind of wondering about God, but not in a way that caused salvation, just in a way that left them thinking about it.
Yeah. I think with questions like that, it's important, as we've said already, to not just close it off at an I don't know, but to also not try and take certain passages of scripture that don't actually mean what we're trying to make them mean with something like that. So I think that there, it's important to make sure that there is a balance in your own mind of making sure that you understand that we might not ever understand those answers, because they might not ever be for us to know. Even once we've died and gone to heaven, we might not ever know why God created the earth when he did and how he did. But we're told that he did. And because the Bible points to God having a plan for all of creation and all of humanity, we can know and trust that when he created it was a part of his plan and to his perfect plan. And I think that that's a good place to kind of rest on that. At least as Christians. As a non-Christian, you might want more, but I don't know if biblically we can give too much more, because I don't think there is much more in there about why he did it, when he did it, other than that it's his plan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And we'll get into the whole young earth, old earth thing, but even in Genesis 1, you know, there's verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And I've heard some Christians say, you know, who knows how long there was between verse 2 and verse 3? Because there's this initial creative work. God creates the heavens and the earth, and yet the earth is just this blob, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's without form, it's void, it's empty,
and the heavens existed.
Yeah. And so who knows? Yeah. And again, I don't know, but someone I know, some Christian scholars that I've listened to, they're like, there could have been billions of years in between verse 2 and 3. And so yeah, the earth can still be young,
right?
Because who knows how long the Spirit hovered over the waters. And so in my opinion, there's certain things where there's room to kind of to say, yeah, maybe. And we'll get into where, as a Christian, there's certain things that I think you can't say, like, yeah, you know, we evolved from monkeys. I don't think you can go there.
Yeah.
But I think there are some areas where you can go, yeah, maybe there was a time in between those verses that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing, too, about how God created the universe was kind of interesting to think through. Because, you know, some people are like, you know, did God just cause the Big Bang and then almost kind of sit back and I don't know, still guide it, but let it kind of unfold on its own? Mm-hmm. Or was there pre-existing material that God kind of used? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think all could have elements of truth. It's really interesting because I remember a period where I would watch, you know, the creation scientists versus the debates, you know, versus
Bill Nye versus whatever the other guy.
No,
is.
Real scientists versus real scientists.
Yeah.
And they're fascinating conversations, because on both sides of the table, you can be like, how can you not see that's divine? How could you not see that science and what you're discovering is created? And almost through the explanations I remember, it would all point back to a miracle, whether that's combustion and a big bang. It's like, well, how did that happen so perfectly? And then the other side of the debate's always like, you know, if you believe you can spill milk on the table and it would become something, you can't even trust your own thoughts because they're created.
Yeah.
Or they're created out of nothing. So really fascinating to watch each side. And I've again, spoken with non-Christians who really believe the science of it, and we talk about science and how much it's evolved since the beginning, and what was true 15 years ago or even less, and how it's changed because of new discoveries. So, you know, I asked one person, so you believe this now, what percentage of that belief are you willing to surrender in 5 years when it's determined to not be true anymore? Because everything. And that conversation was around homosexuality, actually. And I just said, you know, it's the science that called it a brain disorder 10 years ago, like not Christians writing that book. So there has been some evolution even in that own field of thinking. And it just caused a pause because, you know, we have this timeless truth that we believe in, and it's not changing. We don't change the narrative, and we shouldn't. And I think that's where Christians get into trouble, because we try to alter, like you said,
yeah,
fill in. But I see that more so on the argument side of, you know, trying to uncover something and really working hard to create a truth and yeah, then sell to everyone. Because I also asked the person, I'm like, I'm not a scientist and neither are you, so you're still putting your faith into a small collective of people.
Isn't that the yeah, best when people are like, now, I'm not a scientist, but... Especially with the COVID thing, I've seen so many people. I'm not a virologist, but...
Yeah, I've been on Facebook since 07. I know my way around the book.
I do find it interesting, though, how no matter what side of the fence you sit on with creation or evolutionary beliefs, both sides believe in a beginning. I don't think I've really ever heard anyone who believes in macroevolution, so like the Big Bang Theory, talking about pre-Big Bang other than that there was two particles that collided or there was something that collided. And
didn't boom. Elon Musk make it happen?
Maybe. It's all a simulation, man. Who knows? But what's interesting is that even though that we would say we believe two very different things, there is still a desire to know where we've come yeah, from and what has happened before us.
Hey, this is cool because as a staff, we're reading a book by Tim Keller about contextualizing the gospel. And, you know, depending on which culture you live in, the gospel never changes, but how you present it.
Yeah.
And he talked about everybody has what he says are, you know, A beliefs and B beliefs. And he says a lot of times Christians and non-Christians, their beliefs overlap and non-Christians don't even realize that. And we as Christians would go, well, we know where that comes from, but, and then the B beliefs are where you kind of, now I'm veering off into, right? So what you're saying is everyone, Christian or not, believes the universe had a starting point. And so we overlap there, right? And there's yeah, there's some common ground where you can go, I believe the same thing as you. The universe had a starting point. Now the B belief is we believe God was the starting point. And they believe random
yeah,
chance, right?
Yeah, that coinciding belief or the beliefs matching up in that area doesn't point to that all beliefs lead to the
no,
same end. It just is interesting how they end up
yep,
mixing.
And I think, too, Christians, we've done a bad job because we've assumed, like, secular. We don't have any of the same beliefs. And it's like, well, we do. There, right, there's a lot that overlap. And yet, yeah, you know, so everybody in the world wants justice, Christian and non-Christian. And so we would go, I agree with you. And yet how we get justice and who's determines what justice is, that's where we differ,
yeah,
right? So even, you know, the Big Bang is a good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
If someone goes, I believe in the Big Bang, Christians, I think with integrity can go, yeah, I do too, kind of.
Mm-hmm. The narrative the narrative is drawn out a bit more
in the
Christian worldview.
And then that's a good starting point for actual dialogue. Like, it yeah, just drove me crazy when I watched the Bill Nye,
Ken Ham
yeah, debate.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, man, both sides. I'm like, Bill Nye, you're like a children's show creator. You're not a scientist. And on the other side, too, and it's just kind of like we're just arguing and insulting each other. And I'm like, man, there's got to right, be some common ground. So I think biblically we believe that, yeah, God is the originator of the universe, not random chance. And it seems to be in Genesis 1 that he creates everything out of nothing. That's what it – God doesn't seem to use pre – you know, I had matter and I had, mm-hmm, you know, atoms and all this kind of stuff, and then I made stuff out of it. Everything in Genesis 1 seems to point to the fact that God said – you know, let there be light, and there was light. God's
but it starts with something like a form without form and void, but darkness was over the face of the deep. So there's like this.
Sure. And God created that too.
Yeah, he created that and then added life to that. And I think that's where people get confused. Like, wow, there's molecules colliding, where we believe like the creator of the universe is.
Yeah.
Is creating. He's
making something from nothing.
Yeah. And then taking that, what would appear nothing that was left for however long, and then coming back
sure,
and actually giving it, breathing life into it
yeah,
somehow.
And then in Genesis 2, you get a glimpse, and this is why human beings are given kind of much more worth and dignity and value. Like, we're more important than animals, as much as PETA. Sorry, PETA, if you're listening. My dogs, I personally know it's not. Because God, oh man, there goes our sponsor. There goes the, yeah. Genesis 2 talks about God, and whether it's metaphor or not, Genesis 2 places human beings as kind of the pinnacle of God's creation. We're created in his image. And it says God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So I don't know what that looks like, but that's cool that God actually formed man and then breathed life into the first human being, and then he was a living creature. We're not told that God does the same thing for an elephant or a giraffe. He doesn't breathe life into them. There's this difference almost, and that's why we would say human life is more valuable than animal life. Not that animal life is not valuable, but it's more valuable, humans.
I sat through a really good lecture from a doctor in Nova Scotia named Danny Zacharias, and he was talking about creation, and much like you're saying, the creation of man, and really talking about that, you know, formed from the earth and God breathed and then given responsibility, and how humanity has squandered that responsibility. We call it like environmentalism, and we don't want to be a part of it, where it's like, to what degree should we be actually caring for what we've been given responsibility for? And, you know, and he went from everything from hunting responsibly to, you know, littering, and that whole spectrum of how Christians, we like to sit in that and rest in that, you know, we are created by God in his image, but forget some of the accountability and the responsibility that we've been given. And he took it a step further and talked about consumption and consumerism and how we're just living, consuming and creating waste, and how, you know, it's difficult to hold that tension of being.
Sounds like a hippie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just kidding.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I agree. Christians, sometimes it's like, man, I don't care about recycling or. And I'm like, well, yeah, you can make that your God if you're not careful, but we're called to, like, God puts Adam and Eve in the garden, and what does he say? Take care of it. Like, work it, keep it. We weren't just designed to
destroy it.
Hey, thanks, God, for all this great stuff. Now I'm going to just abuse it and consume it. Yeah, we're called to actually cultivate the land and, like, make it beautiful and. Which is kind of interesting that God asks us as human beings to, like, partner with him, right? God doesn't need us. He could say, like, he could have said, you guys just consume and relax, and I'll keep creating, trees for you and stuff like that. But he said, nope, I want you to actually take care of it.
And that would be actually a good episode moving forward, like our responsibility, like our response to creation and how, you know, we could live that out.
So far this hasn't been controversial enough. So, okay, Corbin was going to say something.
Yeah, we could focus up and get on to the next question though, because we are going way off track, and we have a few questions that we wanted to cover. So,
but I want this to be an 8-hour podcast. You're right. Thank you, Corlin. That's why you have first chair underneath the crown.
I don't know if I'm ready for that title.
Do we believe in, you know, a 8,000-year-old young Earth? Is it what is the latest, 6.5 billion or something like that?
I think 4.5.
4.5 billion-year-old universe Earth.
I've lost track at this point. It seems to change
sometimes. And why? You know, because you get into whole, like, what? Why does that matter? Like, what does it actually? So I guess that's a two-part question. Let's talk about what we actually, where we land. And then does it actually matter what me as a Christian, what I think about creation? Or is it one of those issues that's like, who cares?
Right. So personally, I believe the flood narrative and the impact that event had on Earth, Earth being continental plates to, you know, waters rising from the Earth, I believe.
Are you talking about Pangea?
Who knows?
I know, right? I'm you know, totally open to that.
It's that, or they walked across a frozen water between Russia and North America. Like there's a physical way to walk across those like something after the Tower of Babel happened, the disbursement. So that would be a really another interesting podcast because there's some really neat work that's been done around that. But I do believe in a young Earth. I believe in an Earth that hovers around whatever 10,000 years old, because I remember seeing this one piece of evidence that they were finding fossils that were buried in sediment, like standing up, and it would imply like a very rushed deposits that would, it was pointing back to like, what if the Earth flooded very quickly over the course of a couple months? Like what would happen, you know, with the Earth opening? And so I remember just being impressed by that. I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I'm a scientist or a biologist, I don't understand, you know, rocks and sediment, but how does it just destroys a narrative of like this happening, layers, this layer being 10 million years old.
Yep.
An issue for your narrative.
But he was a slow dinosaur, if that's how long it took to cover him.
Quicksand, eh? Stuck in there just the whole time, and his buddies kept feeding him until he died. No, but there's little, like, again, I don't know because I have not studied that deeply, people devote careers to understanding that. But I think when we see 4 billion years old, all of the work that's done to create a narrative that no one can actually prove, that's a little interesting too. Like, don't want to tell anyone they've wasted their career, but at the end of the day, like, can't prove it, because it's funny, I Googled and it said probably was right in the, like, the clinical descriptive. It's like, well, that's kind of rough if you get to the end of your career and you still have to use the word probably.
I spent 40 years and maybe.
And I'm probably right.
Yeah, so. I would agree with you. I believe in a young Earth, whatever, 10,000, 8,000, whatever the narrative is, right?
Give God a couple thousand.
I'll give God a couple. I'll give him some wiggle room.
Wiggle room for those first two.
Because my opinion matters. Right. And for me, it's the same, you know, I haven't done a ton, but I've done some research, and more the evidence is pointing to that. As much as, you know, top scientists, and they almost scoff and laugh at, really, you think the Earth is only 10,000 years old? More and more, like, research and studies are coming out that go, yeah, that's actually a really good debate because of stuff like how they date the Earth. And they've gone, you know, that's actually super non-reliable how you've dated stuff billions of years old. That actually doesn't make any sense. Right. And it's actually it makes more sense to be in this 8,000 to 10,000 range. So that's where I land. And then it matches the genealogies of the Bible, because you look at,
Could you try again?
Whose phone is that? Is that me?
That's yours.
Interesting.
Oh my goodness. That's embarrassing. This episode is brought to you by Siri. Stop. Totally lost my train of thought. But yeah, when you read about genealogies about Noah and Abraham and Moses, it kind of fits that. You go, okay, yep.
And that's where the Bible is a helpful history text.
Totally.
And helps to date. And that's what's really neat about the Old Testament, is because you can actually follow human history. And I thought about the world being 4.5 billion years old. They've never answered the question, well, then why only humans 8,000 years old and no evidence? And we've found evidence from almost every era of human interaction with the world. And then I know they go the whole prehistoric and dinosaurs and all that, and they date fossils to be millions of years old. And I saw another interesting YouTube down that tunnel, but of like them being able to fossilize something quickly and fossilizing a cow femur, and then having, you know, scientists evaluate its age and having it, you know, 15,000 years. No, we did that 2 years ago. And so that's really interesting too, right? Yeah, so I do believe. Yep.
Right. Please, Corlin, say. I'm really hoping he's like, nope, 8 billion.
I'm going to have to disappoint you then. Yeah, I am definitely on the same page as you guys with the young Earth. I think with a topic like whether or not we live on a young or old Earth, other than what context we're given in the Bible, like you said, with genealogy and stuff like that, there isn't a ton that we can go forward with, I would say, because even science is changing every single year. Like, back in old times, they used to feed arsenic to the king to try and calm down his mood swings. That was science back then, right? So, like, it's changed so much over the course of however many years. Do you really want to put your whole life's belief on that science is true right now?
Yeah.
I would say probably not.
The best one I saw was, like, oh, you guys lived through a pandemic before, but you had cocaine in your Coca-Cola. Yeah. So settle down, Debbie.
Yeah. But I think that Andrew makes a really good point with the genealogy in the Bible lining up with, I'd say, a 10,000, 8,000-ish year old Earth. Yeah. Cameron made a really good point with the sediments. I was watching a video on that not that long ago where the guy just explained sediment is usually localized, at least somewhat. But you can see certain tectonic plates have massively deep layers of a specific type of rock that covers, I would say, I don't remember what percentage it was, but it was somewhere upwards of 70% of the states in this one block. Is just, if you go down a certain depth, there's that type of rock there. Sediment doesn't do that in that quantity, is what he was saying. So again, we get to pull out that classic line that you were making fun of. I'm not a scientist, but so I do, with that, I do want to say that I think that there is some room to wiggle on this, because it's hard to not find evidence for either side that you look at, right?
Sure.
The way science goes these days, they will say that it proves an old Earth. The way the Christian worldview is, everything we look at will say, well, this, right? So we would be of the belief that everything that we look at does point to that God created a young Earth.
Sure.
However, I don't think that if you would believe in an old Earth that you can't be a believer at the same time.
Yeah, because, yeah, for me, and I know Christians who think that if you believe that the Earth is, well, then you don't actually love Jesus. And I'm like, whoa, that's a huge jump.
Sure.
Like, do you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus? Okay, well, that's kind of more important than...
Right.
The Earth is 8,500 years old, not 8,004. I'm like, okay, yeah. Settle down. Because I think there's Christians who can make a case and still say, no, God created, God's in control, he's sovereign, he created everything, but maybe this is how he did it.
Sure.
And I think there's wiggle room. And then, yeah, because here's why. It's, you know, Christians are so funny, and then someone asks about dinosaurs, and, well, dinosaur bones were put there by Satan to distract us or whatever. I'm like, man, oh man. Like, we get such a bad rap as Christians sometimes for, I don't want to say like being anti-scientific, but like we can use our brains and think of other reasons, yeah, besides like Satan's out there.
Dinosaur bones.
Make sense of this.
Oh man.
So I think you can make a case, actually a fairly good case, for the Earth being young based on not just on the Bible says so, but yes, the Bible does point to that, but also scientific evidence that can help kind of back that up. And so I guess when we're answering that question, you know, does it actually matter? I think to a certain point it does. Because
what Christians believe about
creation. Yeah, what I believe, because if I just go along with our culture and say, sure, 4.5 billion years old, because kind of coupled with that is, well, evolution, and we came from slime, basically, and over billions of years, we morphed into fish, lizard, blah, 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 blah. And so that's where you're kind of like, I don't know, as a Christian, if you can go that far. So I'll give you a couple examples. If we go back a little bit, they're talking about Christians and being scientific. There was a guy in the last church that we were at, one of those very smart men. You know, I think he was had several, you know, I'm an engineer, but I'm also this, and I have all these degrees, and he was just one of those very scientifically minded.
So he was a scientist.
He actually was. And he created a company which creates and designs camouflage patterns for different militaries around the world.
Oh,
and anyways, he's just super smart. And his testimony is, how he became a Christian is he went about it like scientifically, like, okay, I'm not buying this worldview that's being pushed. I'm gonna right. investigate what Christians actually believe. And I know Lee Strobel, mm-hmm. that's his story. He's just like, I'm gonna investigate what
case
Christians
for Christ.
Case for Christ yeah. and the case for mm-hmm. the Creator. And it's those stories are encouraging because you have very scientific people who are like, no, I didn't just go, I believe or whatever. They're like, I investigated and Christianity makes sense. And right. so that's encouraging, right?
And I think God is completely okay with that and may actually like critical thinking and may actually like asking hard questions and digging in and finding out what do I believe and then being able to back it up with, you know, I can't be completely certain, but I can be pretty darn close just from what we're yeah. given because I've looked through, I've read some commentaries, I've unpacked the verses a little bit.
Yep.
So would you say that the verses in Genesis that speak about God creating the earth in a week, and I'm using quotation marks for those of
they
you who are listening.
They can see you now.
For those who are listening, not just those who watch. But would you say then that you guys would believe that those are 6 or 7 literal days like what we see today, or do you think that those are metaphorical in some way? I would say they're literal.
Yeah.
And what evidence do I have to support that? I've heard, I haven't actually looked into it a whole ton, but I've heard that the way the original text is written, the word day that we would translate to the word day in English, contextually is used as a literal day, not sure. metaphorically.
Yeah.
And if we can say that we believe the Bible is true, then I would say that that's evidence enough for me to believe that they're literal days.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't see why not. And then again, you know, I know some people that, you know, was each day 1,000 years or, well, maybe. It's one of those, like, my opinion, and I would agree with you with the Hebrew and how it's written, it seems to suggest a literal 24-hour day. And I know some people say, oh, but it says in the New Testament, you know,
a day is like a thousand years
and 1,000. And so maybe, I don't know, like right. it's one of those.
Pretty
that,
sure that part was metaphorical, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know that. but again, like if we believe that the earth is young, then it makes sense that those would be literal days. And then our actual work week, God fashions it after his.
Can you imagine
work
if your
week.
Monday was 1,000 years long?
Yeah. Ugh. But he says, like, here's the pattern, right? Right. You work 6 days and then you rest one. And he's saying, like, and that's the pattern that I did. I established that for you.
Yeah.
So I think it would be safe to say, yeah, it's a day. And again, but if someone came to me and is like, hey, can I be a member at the church? I believe that each day was 1,000 years. I'm not going to be like,
yeah,
leave Satan. Like, it's like, for me personally, I go, okay. The only issue I think is some people have said, well, if you interpret the first few chapters not literally, then is it a literal flood? Is it a literal Adam and Eve? And,
yeah.
and I get what they're saying. Yeah. It can be a slippery slope
right.
because then, you know, so, his name is N.T. Wright. He's a bishop and a scholar, very smart man, but he came out, it was a few years ago now, with a book saying he didn't think it was a literal Adam and Eve. Hmm. And that's what I think people are really worried about.
Right.
Because then where do you stop? Was it a literal flood? Well, maybe it was like a metaphor, or, you know what I mean? So that would be my only caution. If we start reinterpreting things saying, well, maybe it doesn't actually say that.
Right.
Yeah. It can be a slippery slope.
Yep.
Right.
And I think I like how you said, you know, it's not a hill to die on by any means, but sure. when we only can read it so many ways, and, you know, I have the Hebrew right here, and it is a very Wait, literal period of time.
You can read Hebrew?
I can read.
What's the word? Can you say it?
No, because I will butcher it. Yeah. But it's. No, I'm not going to read it. But then
for all our Hebrew fans out there.
Yeah. But I like, you know, one of my favorite courses was just biblical interpretation and sitting in that moment and thinking about Moses hearing from the Spirit and like the creation story being given to him and then recording it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I like thinking about that. And, you know, he wrote what he felt God was saying to him and what God was saying to him. So if God didn't want us to land on that, then it may have been communicated differently to him. So I just think about that interaction when he's recording creation, right?
And if we look at how the Bible, or at least the way we've compiled it and have it laid out, Genesis does fall into the books of history within the Bible. And so I don't know for sure. I'm not super well versed on it, but I would say that if we believe that the history from every single one of those history books is true and accurate, why would we say it's metaphorical in Genesis?
Sure.
Why would we throw that one book out and say, well, that's a bunch of maybes. It could have happened like this, but everything else after that was to the T.
Yeah. No, that's good. Okay. I guess last thing is, you know, can you be a Christian? I guess this is a worded weird, but whatever. Can you be a Christian and believe in evolution?
Macro or micro?
Oh, we're nerding out now.
For those of you who do not know, and if I butcher this explanation, please help. But macro evolution would be the large jumps that we hear about often from different sources that say we once were sea creatures that then jumped and transformed to being able to walk on land within one big evolutionary jump. There's no couple of fish dying on land and then a couple more die on land and then a couple, but like over time, it's one big jump. Whereas macroevolution is
micro.
Yes. Thank you. Microevolution would be species changing over a period of time, within their genetics. So
yeah,
height, skin color, even down to like with moths and stuff like that, their camouflage patterns will change over time depending on which environment they're placed in. I would say that's microevolution. It's small scale. They're not changing into a completely different animal because of their environment. They're just changing certain aspects about their bodies over time because the genetics slowly get weeded out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I land. The difference being I don't include humans in that. Like, humans were created. We see that. But I think it could be naive to think there were every species of dog, wolf, coyote on the ark, for example, right? And that's where Christians get in trouble, I believe, because we don't even want to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. We're just like, nope, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, anyone, any critical thinking, not even a scientist, would be like, well, that's really dumb. Like, you should engage the conversation. Because we see that today with domestic pets, people changed and then, you know, some poor animals 100 years later look pretty weird. Skinless cats and stuff, or hairless cats.
skinless cats. That is weird.
So you have to, you scale that back, and people are very much the same, right?
Yeah.
We believe in an origin of one people, and now they're spread out and look super different.
Yeah.
They are super different because they've become climatized to where they are.
But they're still human.
Absolutely. My family, they've been living in Singapore for almost 10 years, and my brother-in-law will wear a full suit, and it's like plus 35, and I'm dying of sweat. Like, how do you do that? Yeah. He's been there 10 years, and his body's adjusting, and it's just actually really neat. He's evolving to suit that climate very well.
Yeah,
I think we just, it's good to have that conversation.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think macro, you know, this idea that we as human beings have evolved from primates over billions of years
and then stopped.
So for that, I don't want to say like, well, you can't be a Christian and believe in that. I would just say you have very twisted beliefs that remove God as creator. Like, so I'll give you an example. There was a teen in our youth group at the last church we were at, and he became a believer as a teen, and you know, growing in his faith and all that kind of stuff. And then he kind of dropped off. And then he met for coffee with me, and he said, yeah, you know what? I believe as a Christian, I believe in Darwinian evolution. Mm. And he was trying to kind of smash those two worldviews together, which I don't think you can. Because then I asked him, okay, well, so I clarified. You know, so human beings, we've evolved from monkeys over billions of years. Yes, I think science has proven that. Okay, then when were we created in the image of God? like along that timeline, if you want to also believe the Bible, human beings are created in God's image, we're distinct from animals. So when did that happen? And he said, this was his answer, when we like evolved into humans, that's when God's image. But he couldn't even use the word created.
Yeah.
Right? So he was, you see this guy trying to, I want to be a Christian, but I also want to believe in Darwinian evolution. And it was actually quite, he's actually not following Jesus anymore, but it was quite fascinating to see a guy trying, I'm going to make these two worldviews work.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can.
Yeah. I think with an idea like that, maybe this is grasping at straws, but I don't think that it is. If you're trying to say that God created us in his image at a certain point in evolution, then that would infer that God changes as well. Because if we're made in his image, he would constantly have to be changing too. But we see that in the Bible, he is not a God who changes, right? So even that conflicts then. And if you're trying to fit yourself into that picture, inadvertently, because we're made in the image of God, you're subconsciously, I would say, trying to mold God into your idea of who God is rather than actually look at who the Bible says he is.
Yeah, so I don't think you can be a Christian and have that worldview. Will it impact your salvation? That's between you and God, really, and his immeasurable you can't understand his grace at the end, but I don't think you can be a part of a biblical worldview and hold that intention.
Maybe that was a better way to word it.
Well, even be a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian?
Yeah,
you follow Christ
to have
and you believe in Jesus.
Biblical
and you
worldview.
Yeah. That biblical worldview.
Yeah.
Of.
But I would agree with you guys. Yeah. You know, when you see different species, I think Christians are afraid of the word evolution.
Yeah.
It's like the E word. It's kind of like, well, because you see, oh man, birds, you know, over a, there was, I can't remember the example where I saw this, but it was like, birds over a certain amount of time, they developed a harder beak because the nuts in that area of the world were hard. So they had to adapt and all that kind of stuff. You go, okay, that's cool. Like, and even in the account of the flood, people rightly criticize and say, really? So every single animal, two of every, well, no, it says
pretty early in the earth's life.
Well, and
right?
It says kinds, right? Every creature according to its kind. And so maybe, you know, you're right, there wasn't like every single type of dog and wolf and cat. No, it was its kind, right?
I definitely remember thinking that as a kid.
You're like, how big is this
Noah's Ark? Yeah, two of every kind. I was like, what? Like, he had bullet ants and fire ants and red ants.
Yeah,
like,
right?
What? How in the world did
and
he
you
fit all of that
and you see
even
human beings interbreed animals, and you go, oh, and now we have a new type of animal. Okay. Like, I don't know why we're so scared of the word evolve, because we see that, right? Like,
essentially, it's change.
My dog, right, it's half Pyrenees and half Mountain Cur, and now it's... It looks different than either one. And we're like, yeah.
We should use the word more in church. Like, how are you evolving in your Christian
life? Yeah. So,
but we use synonyms of it all the time. We just stray away from that
word. In particular.
Tell me about the evolution of your faith.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I'm going to end. Andrew's fired.
Right.
Anyways, any other thoughts or questions? I think we kind of answered roughly what we wanted to.
Yeah.
But I think to be encouraged, you know, there, and we quoted a few passages. There's tons of passage.
Yeah.
About God creating.
And even as to why he did it.
Yeah. And so maybe in the show notes, right? In the YouTube, I'll post some of these references that you can look up, or even on our website. If you listen through that, we can post the different scripture passages that we have here. But just to be encouraged, I think in years past, and it's less now, it was kind of like either you're well-educated and scientific or you're a Christian. that's kind of the stereotypical.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You Christians don't use critical thinking.
Right.
So be encouraged that you can actually be a Christian and use critical thinking and believe scientifically about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that the Bible actually gives really good answers for a lot of... There's stuff that the Bible doesn't touch on, and that's fine, like, right? Mm-hmm. But there's so much that the Bible speaks to about humanity and the creation of the world and why God created things. I would encourage you to, yeah, read up on that and to have what you believe, you know, cemented in your mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for listening or watching. So just a reminder, you can get this podcast on our website at the top banner on our website. There's a link that says podcast, and that'll take you to all the episodes. Or you can subscribe in Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts. And now you can find this on YouTube as well if you want to watch. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.